Today, I want to share another installment of Inquiring Minds. And so there's questions that people have in our current culture, on social media, and in conversations that are questions being raised that have actually really, really good answers, right? And one of these questions is this: are modern Jews real Israelites? Have you heard that one before? It's put in different ways sometimes, but that's the point. Are modern Jews real Israelites? And I'm just going to tell you the short answer: yes. Okay? Anti-Semitism is sadly on the rise. Anti-Semitic teaching, conversations, activism, they're becoming more and more common all across the world, but unfortunately in our Western culture and on our college campuses. Attacks on the Jewish community are increasing. We remember the recent attack of the Jewish people who were celebrating Hanukkah on Bondi Beach in Australia. 14 people were killed and dozens were injured. Or last May, two Israeli embassy staff members were murdered as they were leaving the Capitol Jewish Museum in Washington. In October, three members of the Jewish community were killed in a vehicle and knife attack in Manchester, England. In 2024, anti-Semitic incidents in just the United States broke all-time records, and it's the highest since they started collecting the data. And so in 2024, there were 9,300 anti-Semitic incidences, including assaults, vandalism, harassment, the burning of synagogues, all of that. My friends, that's more than one per hour. And how can we forget the brutal attack on Israel on October 7th, 2023? Today, Jews are attacked in the streets. Synagogues are, like I said, vandalized and set on fire. In a recent survey by Voice of the People, anti-Semitism is the top concern among the global Jewish population, and you can't blame them. It's sad that there's such anti-Semitism on the rise, especially in our Western world and our so-called educated culture. Jesus told us that such hatred would not only exist, but that it would be prevalent and increasing in the last days. A couple of verses. Mark 13:13, he said, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake." Matthew 24:9, "Then you will be arrested, persecuted, and killed. You'll be hated all over the world because you are my followers." And these things will peak in the tribulation period, but they're on the rise right now. They're increasing today. And so the question is, why such hate and animosity towards the Jewish people? Two reasons. There's probably more. Number one, it's because sinful man loves to hate what God loves. God says, "I love something, I love someone." Sinful man goes against that. That's the nature of sinful man. And number two, Satan will always be against what God loves and what God does. So God says, "These are my people, this is what I'm doing." Then Satan is right there saying, "I hate them, I want to kill them and destroy them completely, and I'm against that. I'm against anything that you're doing." God created the Jewish nation. He chose her as his own and promised the Savior of the world through it. And so it shouldn't surprise us that Satan has been against God's plan and will. And you see this all throughout the Old Testament and history after the close of the Bible, even with the end of Revelation, the last 2,000 years. You see it in the Old Testament with wicked Haman and his attempt to have all the Jews killed. You can find this when Herod attempted to kill baby Jesus when he slaughtered all the babies two and under in Bethlehem. And as students, Bible students, we know that anti-Semitism is satanic in nature. It might sound strong, but that's the truth. That is absolutely the truth. I just read a report, and I haven't done the vetting on it, but I believe there's been around 52 attempts at genocide of the Jewish people, if you add them up all together. And then some people today, they'll say, "Well, you know, look at the Jews. They rejected the Messiah, or they're doing this, or they're doing that, and they deserve it." Well, wait a minute here. Let's just zoom out. Was Israel ever perfect? No. Were they ever deserving of the love of God? No. But God loved them in spite of their behavior. Now, when you think about that in our context, aren't you thankful for that sort of love? 100%. Aren't you glad that God loved you and your rebellion and your disobedience and sin? I'm including myself in there, please. I'm not pointing fingers. And anytime you do, did you know that there's at least three pointing back at you? I'm just saying. Zechariah 2:8. For thus says the Lord of hosts, he sent me after glory to the nations which plunder you, for he who touches you touches the apple of his eye. That's how God thinks about Israel and his people. Jeremiah 31, beginning in verse 35. Thus says the Lord, who gives the sun for a light by day, the ordinances of the moon and the stars for a light by night, who disturbs the sea and its waves roar. The Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, says the Lord, then the seed or the generation and generations of Israel shall also cease from being a nation before me forever. There are many verses like this, but this is a very poignant one where God links his faithfulness and his trustworthiness to the nation of Israel and his people. So what do we see today practically regarding this verse? Is the sun still shining? Is the moon still running its orbit around the earth? Absolutely. Then in God's eyes, Israel has not ceased from being a nation of his. Israel has not ceased from being a people before the Lord. Now, they've been scattered a few times, once in Babylon and once in a more dispersed way. That's why it was called the diaspora. Have you heard of that? The diaspora. It's because they were dispersed among the world, among the globe. After 70 AD, the Jewish people were displaced from their God-given homeland, and they were literally scattered and dispersed around the globe. Where are they today? Where's the highest concentration of Jewish people today? Israel. They're back in the land. But many people today don't think that they're biblical Jews. What's the motivation for this? Money? Followers on social media? And then there's money, popularity, social influence, and then we can't deny demonic influence. There are many in news and social media and online peddling anti-Semitic narratives, or at least always leaving people with more questions than answers. And I've been hesitant to do so because I'm not really that kind of person, but there are two people that I'm going to name that you've heard about and you know this, and I know that you're educated, but for maybe some that don't know, I have to share this. There are two people that have huge global platforms that are leaving people with more questions than answers, and that's Candace Owens and Tucker Carlson. And on this issue, I want to be accurate and I want to be fair. Regarding Tucker, he is less about clear assertions and being the guy who asks the questions, but in a leading way, and he leaves people with a conclusion, okay? He questions whether modern Jews are genetically or even religiously identical to the ancient Israelites. And on interviews and podcasts, he does not see the continuity between the Old Testament Jews and those living in Israel today. And he comes from his angle. He claims to be a Christian. I believe that his background would lean more towards replacement theology, which makes sense of what his position is regarding Christian Zionism or U.S. foreign policy regarding Israel. But he frames these questions in the context of challenging the idea that supporting Israel is a Christian duty, which I believe it is. What I know is what God said to Abraham. There's so many answers when you go back to Genesis, right? Go back to the beginning, Genesis 12:3. God says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. There's a lot in there, but if Israel is not Israel, then I'm really confused. Who should we be praying for? Who should we be blessing? If Israel is not Israel, then what country do we go to for an Israel tour? If helping protect Israel against genocide from her neighbors is not blessing Israel, I don't know what is. Now, Tucker Carlson did not explicitly say Jews are not descendants of ancient Israelites, end quote. He didn't say that, but many scholars and Jewish leaders are calling his other statements and questioning highly misleading. Highly misleading. And this is what we hear from Tucker, quote, "If they are biblical Israel, tell me how. What are you even talking about? Are the people who live there now related to the people we read about in the Old Testament? You tell me it's the same religion. How is it the same religion? There's no temple. What are you even talking about?" That's problematic. Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, publicly rebuked Tucker Carlson. And he said this, "If Tucker Carlson is asking you that, then he has no idea, not just about Jewish history, but of history." Look, if the Prime Minister of Israel is calling you out on a global platform for what you're saying about Israel, then you're in trouble. Tucker's even made the claim that DNA testing is illegal in Israel. It's not illegal. His goal is provocation, not education or accuracy. Last December 10th, just a little bit ago, after stating that Israel is not America's ally on a national podcast, he denied that modern Jews are related genetically or religiously to the ancient Israelites. Bennett Ruta from the Jewish Edition said this regarding Tucker, "Tucker Carlson's performance is not merely uninformed, it's reckless. By presenting his lack of knowledge as a form of bravery, he invites his audience to confuse curiosity with certainty and skepticism with denial. Jews, Judaism, and Israel are not abstractions to be waved away with rhetorical questions and conspiratorial shrugs. They are among the most thoroughly documented continuities in human history. Carlson's failure to grasp that is not a moral stand. It is a choice and one that trades truth for applause." Another national proponent of misinformation is Candace Owens. And she's said a lot, especially recently, but she's claimed that the Ashkenazi Jews in Israel are actually Khazars and not related to ancient Jews from the Old Testament or ancient Judaism. And I'll talk about the Ashkenazi Jews in just a little bit. But this Khazar, I don't know if you've heard of it, the Khazar hypothesis, it is a fringe and disproved idea historically used in anti-Semitic narratives to challenge the Jewish connection to the Old Testament Israelites and the land. Okay, that's the design of it. She's made many conspiratorial claims insinuating that the present-day Jews are not historical Jews and are pulling the strings behind world events and governments and the whole thing, trying to disconnect the present Jews in Israel and around the globe from any right to the land that God gave to them. And sadly, she 100% promotes anti-Semitic and conspiratorial material. In September of 2024, I don't know if you read about this, but her longtime friend, Dennis Prager, wrote her a 15-page open letter because he had had enough. And you can look that up online and you can read it for yourself. And did you know that Candace has implicated Calvary Chapel pastors on her podcast? And then she says, "Well, I'm only asking questions." And she wonders why there's so many ex-military who are called Calvary pastors and why many of them have close ties to Israel and visit Israel routinely. And these Calvary pastors sometimes have close relationships with their elected officials. She goes on to say that she thinks that Calvary pastors are a part of a government psyop to promote Christian Zionism. And then she says, "Well, this is just the picture that's emerging here." But of course, this is just what she's thinking about. This is just what she's asking. What is Christian Zionism? Well, first of all, Zionism is the belief that the Jewish people have a right to exist in their ancient ancestral homeland. Christian Zionism means that you support that and you're a Christian. That's pretty basic. Your loved ones and you should not be listening to Tucker or Candace Owens. Friends don't let friends listen to those two. There's better content out there. So inquiring minds want to know, are modern Jews real Israelites? What's the short answer, church? This is important and critical to us because people, and even some Christians, claim that Jews living in Israel aren't real Jews or Israelites, and let's take a look at why. Five areas, all right? Number one, the Bible. The fact that God has an eternal future and plan for Israel is evident in the Bible. In fact, 5/6 of the Bible bears directly or indirectly upon the Jewish people. Past, present, and future. God made a promise to Abraham back in Genesis 12. We looked at a little bit of it, but look at this. Genesis 12, 1 through 3. The Lord, Jehovah God, that's his covenant name, said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you, and in you all of the families of the earth shall be blessed. 5 times in that passage, God says, I will. God is the one who does it. This is the Abrahamic covenant, and it's unconditional. The Mosaic covenant is conditional. God says, you do this, this is what I'm committed to. And you know what the people said? Yes and amen. Did they do that well? No. But the Abraham covenant and other covenants, like the Davidic covenant and the New Covenant, those are unilateral, one-sided covenants. Praise the Lord for that. We would have messed them up. Blessing all of the families of the earth, that is a messianic phrase. He's talking about the Messiah that would come through Abraham. And this promise that he makes, this is not general. It's very, very specific. It's messianic, and we're beneficiaries of that. The blessings, including the land covenant, are unconditional and forever. This is a literal promise that included literal land. It was a forever gift. Now, if you're taking notes, Genesis 13, 15, that's the place where God tells Abraham to look, and everything that his eye can see, God says, I'm giving it to you and your descendants forever. Does God have the right to do that? Yes, he does. The specific dimensions are given in Genesis 15, 18 through 21. And then there's an interesting passage that you should note in Deuteronomy 30, 1 through 10. God anticipates Israel's disobedience and captivity. And then way back in Deuteronomy 10, he promises to bring them back to the land that he gave to them. With biblical prophecy, there's something called dual fulfillment. Have you heard of dual fulfillment? Oftentimes, there is a near fulfillment and then a far fulfillment. And so for the prophets of old, oftentimes it looked like a mountain range, like the Rocky Mountain range. But isn't it true that when you're coming from eastern Montana to the Rocky Mountain front, it looks like a wall? But you know it's not. It's got depth. And then as you get closer and closer, and we're ooing and awing through our windshield, and it's just amazing, you start to see different peaks, and you realize some of the peaks that you see are miles apart in depth. That's like biblical prophecy. This is the case regarding the gathering of Israel back to the land. Ezekiel 11:17, therefore say, thus says the Lord God, I will gather you from the peoples, assemble you from the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. This would happen with the return from Babylon as well as in the 19th and 20th centuries. But the following verses in Ezekiel chapter 11 speak of that farther fulfillment, those peaks that are still off in the distance, but to the prophet, it just kind of seems like one wall of mountains. He promises their future salvation. He promises them a new heart and full fellowship with God. And another passage is of the elimination of all disobedience and lawlessness. Have all those things happened yet? No. Where are the Jews today? They're in the land. So God is working out his plan. Ezekiel 36, 24. I will take you from among the nations, gather you out of all countries, and bring you into your own land. Again, this was partially fulfilled when the Jewish people came out of Babylon and came back into Israel. But then what happened after 70 AD? They were scattered again. And we know that there is a future fulfillment of the balance of the chapter that speaks about Israel's future salvation in Ezekiel 36. And God's Spirit within them and a deliverance from uncleanness. And that's all future. And so it's beautiful. I just read Amir Safadi's new book on exploring Ezekiel, and it is a great read. It is a really, really great read. But where are we in the whole Ezekiel process, especially in the latter chapters? We are in, you ready for this? The first part of Ezekiel 37. What is Ezekiel 37 about? It's about the vision of the valley of dry bones. They all come together. The bones are in place and there's a connection, but there's no breath. There's no spirit. Just like the Jewish people, they've been gathered from all the ends of the globe and placed back in the land that God gave them, but there's no spirit. They're living in disobedience. There's a veil. And so when Ezekiel talks about the prophecy of becoming breath and life and all of that, that's future still. But God is at work and he's moving his plan forward. There, my friends, it's exciting to know that there's a future revival of the Israeli people coming. These verses and others speak to the fact that the Jews being in the land of Israel is the first step of God's purpose of revival among his people in the last days. When the return of the Jews from Babylon under Ezra and Nehemiah took place, there were no podcasters or pundits asking the question, well, these Jews that are back in the land, are they really real Jews? I mean, I'm really just asking the questions here. No one was doing that. Yes, they were dispossessed from the land. Yes, there was intermarriage among the Gentiles in Babylon and the other nations. And yes, they were disobedient, but they were still God's people. And the Bible teaches the connection between modern and ancient Jews. I think I'll mention this later, but just because he's disciplining his people does not mean he rejects his people. Discipline does not equate with rejection. So the Bible's clear. Number two, history. The Jewish people are the only people group ever to be dispossessed of their ancestral land twice, only to return and maintain their culture, language, literature, and customs. You know, in the Old Testament, the people in the land of Canaan that were dispossessed at the command of God by Israel, all the Ites, do we ever hear about the Ites today that were dispossessed of their land and their culture in Canaan? No. Have you ever heard of an Amalekite running around? How about a Canaanite? Now, we might see people who are acting like Canaanites. We might say, you kids are acting like a bunch of Canaanites. There are no Canaanites today. There's no Canaanite culture. They were dispossessed of the land and are no more. In the last 2,000 years, the Jews have survived occupation, expulsion, violence, persecution, and attempted genocide. That the Jewish people maintain their culture and characteristics and their language, my friends, it is nothing short of a miracle. I know you love history. It was Monday, May 14th, 1948. It was a pivotal day in human history. At 4 p.m., David Ben-Gurion stepped up to the podium at the Tel Aviv Art Museum and he read these words. He said, "This right is the natural right of the Jewish people to be masters of their own fate, like all other nations in their own sovereign state. And accordingly, we are here assembled and by virtue of our national and historic right and on the strength and resolution of the United Nations General Assembly, hereby declare the establishment of a Jewish state in Eretz Israel to be known as the State of Israel." 11 minutes later, President Truman recognized the new Jewish state, making the United States the first country to recognize Israel. I'm thankful for that. God was doing something, and in the political mix of that day, President Truman realized that God was doing something and recognized Israel. This fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah 66:8 that asks the question, And you probably have heard this, can a nation be born in a day? What's the answer to that? Yes. And it happened, May 14th, 1948. Today, the descendants of Old Testament Israel are back in the land again. There's no other people group on earth who have real history and see deep meaning of all that happened on that slice of land in the Middle East than the Jewish people there today. Before we move on, I just want to mention a couple little terms to make sure we're all on the same page. The term Jew or Jews refers to the Jewish people, mostly by ancestry and some by conversion. Modern Israelis say, hey, I'm an Israeli. They're inhabitants of Israel. And that makes up about 75%, or the Jewish people make up 75% of the inhabitants of Israel. Now, of that 75%, some are practicing, let's say, Judaism in one form or another, and the others are secular. When you look at Romans 9, 10, and 11, Paul explains that their rejection of the Messiah is not permanent. It's not permanent. And through their rejection, Gentiles received salvation. So just because God disciplined his people, just because there's a veil over their heart right now, it doesn't mean that God has rejected his people. I would encourage you, if you haven't, read Romans 9, 10, 11, but first read Romans 1 through 8. That's the context, but in an emergency, read 9-11, 9 through 11, Romans 9-11, okay? If you're in an anti-Semitic emergency or somebody's having an anti-Semitic crisis, or Romans 9-11, there you go. But just because God has disciplined his people doesn't mean he's rejected them. He calls them as his people. He's gifted them with so much, and even though they've rejected God, there's a beautiful plan for revival and restoration. And this is what Paul means when he says in Romans 11, 29, that the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Oh, we a lot of times like to quote that for ourselves regarding, you know, our life or some kind of challenge that we're facing, and we encourage each other with that verse, and that's great. But let us not forget the key context of that verse has to do with God's plan for the Jewish people, that they'll be known one day as a nation that's accepted Jesus as their Messiah. God's working out his plan. And we see that as prophecy and the Bible literally intersect history. We're seeing it play out today. Number three, archaeology. There's a lot to say on this topic alone. Archaeology confirms a distinct Israelite presence in the land from the late Bronze Age and Iron Ages onwards. Artifacts and findings are marked by unique features, such as Hebrew inscriptions, understanding of their avoidance of pig bones and village patterns consistent with biblical Israel. But who is interested in these things? I mean, other than Bible-believing Christians like us, the Israelites who are in the land right now, the Jews in Israel. Why? They want to protect their history, while Palestinians and others, they want to erase it. And it's not a secret that Israel's enemies are more than willing to delete, desecrate, and destroy evidence of the Jewish people's link to the land. When we talk about archaeology, it supports the continuity of modern Jews with ancient Israelites by demonstrating an unbroken peoplehood, culture, language, religion, and land connection. So even with the two times they were dispossessed from the land with Babylon and then after 70 AD, look, there was always a remnant, even if it was small, that existed in the land of Israel. Always. There's been a lot of work done regarding archaeology, especially in the last 10 to 20 years. And if you follow some of these groups on Facebook or you get publications, you know that they're discovering things just about every week. It's remarkable. I'll mention three just that are interesting that I came up with, but more and more of the city of David is being discovered. If you've been to Israel and you've gone through the city of David museum and all the excavations, if you've been to Israel a couple times and seen that, it changes every time you go there. Would it surprise you that the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization called UNESCO has repeatedly condemned the excavations of the city of David? Doesn't surprise me. How about this? The Pool of Siloam. This is where Jesus healed the blind man. This pool was only discovered in June of 2004. They were able to excavate about half of it, this right half here, and they couldn't go any further because the Jewish state and the Department of Antiquities, they didn't own the other side of this pool. But they've acquired the property and they're working on excavating it and getting it all cleaned up right now. Excavations are ongoing. You can see the very place where Jesus healed the blind man, where Jews from all over would come and do a ritual washing before they would go up to the temple to worship God. And then this is just recent. This is just a few weeks ago. An ancient mikveh, which is a ritual bath, right, where you would go down into the bath and you would cleanse, you know, dunk yourself basically so that you could be ritually clean. This was discovered from the Second Temple period under the Western Wall Plaza. You're looking at a 2,000-year-old ritual bath that was buried under layers of ash from when Jerusalem was burned in 70 AD. This is just steps away from the Temple Mount. This isn't archaeology. This is proof that the Jews are indigenous to the land of Israel. Number four, this is a short one, language. Inscriptions found from all over Israel dating back before the time of Christ show the continuous use of Hebrew tied to Israelite identity. And so modern Hebrew is not a reconstructed foreign language, but a revival of the same Semitic tongue preserved in Jewish liturgy, scripture, community life, throughout the diaspora. So there's a language connection. And then number five, genetics. Candace Owens and others have made claims that the Jews of today are not real Israelites because they lack a genetic connection. Now, while it's true that the Jews have been scattered throughout the world and there was intermarriage, it is not true to say that they lack a DNA link to ancient Israel. Modern fringe theory that I mentioned earlier is that the Ashkenazi Jews came from the nomadic Khazars in the Turkish Empire. This is a politically motivated theory that attempts to remove any claim that the Jews have to the land, and it's been disproven. So that the Khazar theory, the Khazar conspiracy, it's been disproven. Well, what does Ashkenazi mean? What are Ashkenazi Jews? Ashkenazi Jews are those that descended from the Jews of the Middle Ages who settled in Germany, Poland, Austria, and Eastern Europe. And so there are a number of distinctions of modern-day Jews regarding where they settled after 70 AD. Imagine that. So Ashkenazi Jews are distinct from Sephardic Jews who inhabited medieval Spain and Portugal, for instance. Modern DNA research reveals that although there was intermarriage between Jews and other cultures, there is still a link back to the Middle East and back to the area of Israel. In fact, when Israel became a nation in 1948, Ashkenazi Jews were the largest group of Jews to settle there. Nearly half of the Jews living in Israel today are Ashkenazic, and it's estimated that 80% of the Jews worldwide are Ashkenazic. That means that they have connections with that Mid and Eastern European area. And even though they were dispersed all over the world and intermarried, you can trace the DNA back to the Middle East, specifically Israel. And so those are five areas that connect modern Jews to the ancient Israelites. Now, the problem that arises from the speech from people like Owens and Carlson, there are many, but I'm going to give you three. You can't just say, well, they can just do their thing online and I'm going to just let them do it. Absolutely not. They need to be challenged on this for at least three reasons. Number one, they're suppressing the truth and they're exchanging it for a lie. They deny history. They deny the word of God. They're promoting that the church has replaced Israel because God has cast off his people. The Bible says otherwise. I'm going with the Bible and history and archaeology and language and all that. Number two, this deceives others and feeds anti-Semitic narratives, even if they say, hey, I'm just asking the questions, or I'm just playing this out on the intellectual ball field. They're deceiving people. Number three, people like Carlson and Owens inspire people to act on BDS. And have you heard of BDS? That's boycotting and divesting and sanctioning Israel. It is a thing, and it is funded. People get inspired to protest and commit violence or genocide against the Jewish people. And so, yes, this is a problem that needs to be addressed. And if inquiring minds want to know, then I got some questions. If modern Jews are not real Israelites, then who are the real Israelites? Who was motivated to depart various parts of the world in the later or latter 18th century to live in Israel when it was either a desert or swampland? Who became a modern nation May 14th, 1948? What is Isaiah 66:8 talking about? Can a nation be born in a day? Who is fulfilling prophecies like Ezekiel 36 that speaks of Israel's fruitfulness and growth? Did you know that that's going on right now? Their growth and their fruitfulness from this young nation that only became a modern state just over 70 years ago? Did you know that they're a global fruit exporter? And then last year, they were in a list of nations as the 10th most powerful nation in the entire world. This little nation of Israel? How did that happen in just, what, 78 years? When Mark Twain, way back in 1867, visited Israel, and he said, it's an unremarkable, barren, dismal, desolate land in 1867. From that to the 10th most powerful nation in the entire world. Do you think God had something to do with that? Absolutely. God is on the move. And yet, if the wrong people were gathered to Israel from the nations, then what does that say about God's word or God's trustworthiness or God's character? If God is not good on his land promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants, why would he be good on his promise for a Messiah or his promise to save Gentiles? That's always been his heart. To bring Gentiles into his eternal family. Did you know that before Abraham became the father of the Jewish nation, he was a Gentile? That'll fry your hard drive. So when we look at these things, we need to understand that the choice is binary. Either God is faithful or he's not. He's faithful or he's not. There's no middle ground. So when I ask these questions, you know, does Candace have the receipts for that? I mean, she says that. I've got the receipts, and it's in a vault, or I mean, all this stuff. It's an important question because God's word is at stake. If modern Israel is not real Israel, then who is? Yes, Israel rejected the Messiah and the gospel, as Paul writes in Romans 10, but Romans 11 begins with this, 11:1. I say then, has God cast away his people? Let's read this together. Certainly not, for I also am an Israelite of the seed of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. That's the answer to all these questions that people are raising today. He goes on to write in Romans 11 that God always has a remnant. Israel's rejection is not final. And that's one of the things that comes up. Well, they've rejected Jesus as Messiah, and they sometimes the religious Jews in Israel, they'll persecute Christians. And but God says their rejection is not final. Doesn't excuse their behavior, but God's got a plan. There's a future work of grace. All Israel will be saved one day through faith in the gospel. God's current discipline of Israel is not total rejection. And we Gentiles, we have no right to boast. And I see boasting going on when these guys get online and they do their podcast with three bearded, tatted up dudes around a wooden table with their coffee. You know, saying, I was raised in a church that, you know, we said we're supposed to support Israel and whatever. Now listen, is Israel perfect? No. Could we maybe weigh in and say, well, politically or socially or, yeah, absolutely, but we want to support them because we want to be on the side of God. We want to bless them any way we can, and there's ways that we can do that. But us Gentiles, we have no room to boast. We're grafted in. We're grafted into the promises that God made to Israel. And this becomes really, really problematic for those who say that modern Israel is not biblical Israel. It becomes very problematic. Why? If there's no biblical Israel today, then what are we grafted into? If branches were broken off from the natural vines so that we could be broken into, then where are those broken branches that God is going to unify with the vine one day? Paul deals with this in Romans 11. There is coming a day when the natural branches will be reunified with the olive tree. You know, I don't want to fry any hard drives, and maybe I have today, but the new covenant in Jeremiah chapter 31 is to the Jews, not the church. We're beneficiaries of that covenant. We're grafted in, and we should be so grateful for the benefits that we receive. And Paul actually said, this is part of the plan that God is working out, where your excitement about the Lord is going to provoke the Jews to jealousy and lean in and become saved. God is pleased and always desired and purposed for Gentiles to be saved. I mean, you look at even the genealogy of Jesus, and two Gentile women are brought into his genealogy. You've got Rahab and Ruth. Amazing testimony. But the new covenant is to Israel. We're not the first in this whole process. The gospel of Jesus Christ and all the covenants, that they're Israeli-centric, not church-centric. We're beneficiaries, great beneficiaries. We must be eternally thankful for that. And God's fine with this being Israeli-centric, and we should be too. This is pictured in the command Jesus gave to his disciples about even how they were to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The power wouldn't come from their flesh, it would be supernatural. Look at what Jesus told them. He said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. Where does it all begin? In a Jewish city called Jerusalem. And then it moves out in ever-increasing concentric circles. This is seen in Paul's teaching to the Roman church. We profess this in our worship this morning. Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek or the Gentile. How powerful is that gospel? Nothing like it. Everyone who believes on it will be saved. But the priority is for the Jew and also the Greek. I'm glad for that little phrase at the end of that verse. And you should be too. You can go to Israel today and see the people, the biblical history, the sites, and the very land itself that God gave to the Jews. Their claim to the land is based on what God gave them. The scriptures, the prophecy, history, archaeology, language, culture all bear witness to this. Jesus was Jewish. He was born to Jewish parents. He was born in a Jewish town called Bethlehem. He grew up celebrating Jewish culture and Jewish feasts in Jerusalem, which is a Jewish city. He died on the cross for our sin by the hands of Jewish leaders, and he was buried. And on the third day, he rose again, and all fulfilling Jewish prophecies. He has power over sin and death, and all who believe on him will be saved. So people groups, including the Palestinians, they can't claim any kind of history that has anything to do with that. They just can't. Let me show you a picture of the Palestinian Museum of History. Displayed, you will see the many artifacts bearing witness to their ancient culture. Now, did the Palestinian people who identify as Palestinians, did they come from somewhere? Yes, they're Arabs. It's a made-up thing to promote antagonism and attack against the Jewish people. And so you can see their National Museum is empty. Let me wrap this up. Are modern Jews real Israelites? What's the answer, church?
Yes.
Does that mean that they will be automatically saved one day? No. Each Jewish person will have to place their trust in Jesus Christ and his work on account of sin. That's happening right now. More and more Jewish people are coming to faith now than ever before. This is the foretaste of this great revival that'll happen in the latter part of the 7-year tribulation. There will come a day when that revival will take place, and the Jewish nation will be known as a nation who has received her Messiah by faith for her Savior, rather than a nation that's known, like it is right now, for rejecting the Messiah. Bottom line, Michael Houdman from the Ministry Got Questions, the founder, summarized the answer for us. He says, the Jews currently residing in Israel are not counterfeit Jews. Many, if not most of them, are true biological descendants of the people from ancient Judah and Israel. There is no biblical, genealogical, historical, or genetic reason to deny that most modern Israelis are truly descendants of the ancient Israelites. What do we do with all this? A couple things. You can pray for the Jewish people that they would come to know their Messiah. Pray that God's Spirit would not only convict but comfort them during this crazy time of extreme anti-Semitism. Number two, you can support Israel through giving. There are a lot of ministries, some vetted ministries. I'll just mention two. The Joshua Fund, also Vision for Israel. Those are two vetted ministries, but there are others. You can support Israel, number three, by going there. That's a double blessing. You're supporting their economy, but you're also learning about your biblical roots. Israel is the land of the Bible, and where your Bible ends up going from black and white to living color. Isn't that true for those of you who have been to Israel? And then number four, you can educate yourself about the Jewish people and culture so that you can educate others, educate your family, have an answer when somebody is spewing out anti-Semitic stuff or things that are false. So when inquiring minds want to know if modern Jews are real Israelites, the answer is yes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you and thankful for your son Jesus. We're thankful for the fact that, as probably most of us here, Lord, we are grafted in to the promises that you have made to your people. And we're thankful for the fact that everything that you've promised for us in Christ Jesus is yes and amen. And Lord, we do pray for the Jewish people, the global group of your chosen people, Lord, that you have seen fit to work into your plan for your glory. And Lord, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for the leaders of Israel. We're having to make very, very difficult decisions. Lord, we pray for the Jewish people who just want to go to work and minister their family and celebrate Hanukkah and have Shabbat every week and be able to go to the synagogue without being attacked. And we pray, God, that you would just oversee them and bring them comfort. Comfort your people, Lord Jesus. We pray that you would help us to continue to learn about this culture that you created, Lord, that you're doing this plan with as we look to the scriptures. Lord, help us to be people who are ready to give an answer for the hope that is within us. Help us to be articulate. Lord, help us to have answers when people say things that are just factually incorrect. We love you, Jesus, and we pray that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit, especially in these last days, to be strong watchmen on the wall, to be strong warriors for you, to do the things that you're calling us to do, and to be the people that you're calling us to be. In Jesus' name, amen.